Hey, what's going on in Sharkland? This is Eric from the Shark School with another episode of Let's Talk Shark. Today, I like to talk about a person's activity and its attractiveness for a shark that is close by. It does make a difference if you swim, snorkel, surf, freedive, frolic in the water, or whatever you do when sharks are around or when just one shark shows up. Generally speaking, the more sounds you create, the more interesting you are for a shark. The same is true for the rhythm. The more arrhythmical, non-rhythmical the sounds are, the more attractive you get. Although we start to have an idea what goes on, the related research has not yet been done, despite what you may have heard or read on the internet. So at this point, all I can give you is an idea what we assume is going on and how our activity may influence a shark. Nevertheless, some parts of the different activities have a rather clear effect, and the respective research will very likely confirm what we assume. As already mentioned in previous episodes, sound seems to be the most prominent attractant for a shark that is close by, but only when the animal is really close by, and sometimes even in the visual periphery, it cannot detect your sound. So why is that? The ocean is full of noises. Breaking waves, plankton clicking, fishes grinding body parts against each other, dolphins whistle, rocks are moving in river mouth, boat engines, and on and on. Due to that, human sounds are not heard that far off of a person. So let's talk a few minutes about sounds in water. No worries, I won't bore you with definitions and formulas. I just want to explain a few things that are rather important to understand how sound works in water. I also like to refer to episode 7, where I talked about hearing, and in that episode I already gave you a quick rundown how sound waves, quote-unquote, behave in water. Again, whenever we move in water, two components are of importance: water pressure and sound. The former is something that can only be felt close to a shark's body, so it has to be rather close to us to detect our water displacement. This is also called the near field. This near field is nothing else than, of course, the shark's inner circle, and its distance reflects the radius of two body lengths. The organ responsible to detect water pressure is the lateral line system, a system that covers the entire flank area of a shark as well as its head. Sound travels much further than water pressure, but again, it then joins the mix of all the other sounds in water and won't be detected anymore. As such, sounds are not registered with the lateral line system, but the inner ear. If you want to look for these openings, you'll find them on top of a shark's skull. Draw an imaginary line from eye to eye over the skull and go to the center of that line. The openings are behind the center, but even so, we know where they are. They are very small and not easy to be found. It is funny, but the other day I got a shark book from a so-called shark expert, but he put the ear openings behind the shark's eyes. I nearly fell off my chair when I saw that. Yeah, so much for the expert. This idiot doesn't even have a basic idea about shark anatomy, but claims to be an expert. Where do these type of people get their arrogance from? For sure not because they're experts in the field, they claim. So the lateral line is affected by the near field, the ears by the far field. So whenever we move, we affect or create both near and far fields, which we could describe as a sound and pressure map. Then there is actually a third sensory organ that seems to relate to water pressure as well. It's called the pit organs. These are small openings on the shark's backs, sides, and lower jaw. The exact function has not yet been understood, but most likely sharks use them to register mechanical stimuli such as water currents. Let's go back to the near field water pressure. This is quite intriguing for our predators because the water pressure they pick up mostly consists of whirls and vortices that the moving prey creates, mainly with the tail. And it is these water disturbances that a shark can pick up and follow even when the visibility is poor or nearly non-existing. Speaking about visibility, depending on which activity we choose, we notice a shark earlier on or early on or not at all. Each activity comes with a range of vision. Of course, swimming is probably the most limited one because we just don't really look around when we swim. If you breaststroke, well, you will not put your head below the water's surface. But even during freestyle, it is very, very limited. Scuba probably is dense or it's the easiest to look around. So all the other activities are somewhere in between. So the rule is whenever moving in an area where sharks may be present or the chances exist that some of them might appear, keep looking around. And this is exactly what we often forget. We don't look around. We have to remind ourselves to do so over and over. And this is exactly what we often forget. We don't look around. We have to remind ourselves to do so. When I go into the individual description of the different activities and what we have to focus on, I will remind you, and this, of course, will be the subject of future talks. Yeah, let me explain something here. Yeah, let me make something clear here. I'm talking about visibility and how we will not be able to see a shark. Well, it goes both ways, of course. The shark won't see us if the visibility is low. But sharks do have other sensory organs that can compensate for low visibility. And just picture at night, during the nighttime hours, although the sharks still see during nighttime hours, even for these animals, it is reduced. So when there is no light, sharks have to compensate. And of course, we would assume it's the sound that lures them in, that we create. And if there is no other sound around, it's very calm water, chances are a shark would find us through its ears. But then again, there might be other things. For example, if you're actually moving around, the shark may be able to pick up your vortices and your whirls that you create with your fins or with your feet, with your arms. So, and it can follow you that way. So my point is, although we start to understand what kind of senses a shark can use in order to detect us, we still don't really have a clue, but we can assume that the shark is capable of switching its sensory organs in priority. And again, during nighttime hour where visibility is reduced, he may just change to another sense organ and compensate for it. By now, it should be clear that the produced sounds are a main attraction for a shark. But keep in mind, the louder the environment, like breaking waves, plankton noise, etc., the less the sound of human activities can be picked up. So if you swim around close to a beach where waters break, or maybe you have a cliff close to it, chances are the shark will not hear you and just by accident swims right into you. But even if a shark can detect us and comes close to investigate, it mostly ends there. Investigation and exploration is not a prelude for a bite, despite what you can read on the internet. And on the internet, you very often see a shark show up, then it circle around the person, the circle got closer and closer, tighter and tighter, and then he came to a bite. Although in theory, this would make sense, it never happens that way. Although sharks have very keen senses, great power, and are often of immense sizes, they do not see themselves as superior to us. We are not part of anything they know. Thus, it is a character trait of a predator, like the shark, not to rush in what is unknown. And this can be easily applied. Whenever a shark is close by and you feel uncomfortable, swim towards the animal. And you will see there's only one reaction a shark does, and it doesn't matter if it's a white shark, a tiger shark, a bull shark, they back off. It is important that we see sharks in a different light and not how the general media still portrays them. Sharks don't have a mean bone in them. They do not stalk us in order to do harm or whatever some journalists, TV producer, or websites try to justify their own fear with. Sharks are cautious, hesitant animals that have to make a living like all the other animals as well, and dangerous situation is not something they just rush into. So whenever you feel uncomfortable, again, move towards the shark. Sharks are curious and shy at the same time. They just try to make sense what we are. They will never figure out what we are, but the best thing we can do is calm the shark down, that the shark feels comfortable with us being around. In my next episode, I will start talking about the individual activities, and we will see. If you swim, well, your vision is much reduced. While doing scuba diving, it's much enhanced. But nevertheless, I will, of course, go into how to behave, what to do, what not to do, how to swim, how to stop and all, and monitor shark and all these things. Okay, that's it for today. Tune in again for another show of Let's Talk Shark. Have a great day, and if you meet a shark out there, have fun. Enjoy the moment, and remember, it is a privilege.